WMFO Medford Night. WMFO.
Excuse me.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636. I'm getting over cold. I'm gonna throw this out there right now. I'm getting over cold, so there will be a lot of that.
Let's just
tonight.
Do the whole show like that. That might be fun.
You know, that would make about as much sense as anything coming out of Washington right now.
You know? Very true.
I think we can agree on that point. It is, if you can believe this, Shea Spillane. If you can believe this.
Lay it on me.
What's it? December 11th.
Yeah.
Right?
It's 2 weeks. That's what I was watching the news this morning, and it was like, 2 weeks to Christmas. I was like, no.
Yeah, but this is our last regular show of the year.
Oh, snap.
Because next week, weather permitting, and all signs point to the weather permitting, it will be the annual Christmas battle. The grand battle between myself and Chris Earle for Christmas Music Supremacy.
Which I love because I just sit in judgment of the two of you.
I am up against...
It's a very satisfying show.
I am up against
yours,
the wall.
Truly.
I am really up against the wall this year because this has been a terrible, terrible year for Christmas music.
Yeah, for like new stuff coming out. I was going to say, like, I haven't heard anything.
No. I've heard like two things that are passable, and I'm like,
well, and all
okay.
And all the old school stuff you guys have already like way. You're gonna have to like dig.
Yeah, this may be the last one because unless they start making good Christmas music again, or we discover some trove of unknown. I mean, yeah, you can always go to Bing Crosby deep cuts.
Yeah, but. Well, there's a reason the deep cuts.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like, how much Bing Crosby are you going to play? You know,
yeah. Maybe Michael Bublé will get bored.
Oh,
and
his new album is not. I've been through all of them.
He's got a great, like, Christmas voice.
I've been through all of them. And you know what it is? Oh, we've got a Broadway artist and a big band. That's all of them this year. And I'm sorry. I don't need 20 more. I don't need 20 more versions of... Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow with a big band backing up some Broadway singer.
Yeah, I think it is an understatement to say that has been done.
You know what I really need is I need Billie Eilish to write a Christmas song.
That's what I was thinking is like...
Sitting on the couch, looking at the tree, thinking about how sad she is.
Have like Sia write... a Christmas song.
Oh,
let's get something out of Lizzo.
Oh,
like,
Sia wrote a bunch of Christmas songs.
Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
On the off chance that Chris Earle is listening, that's as much as I'm going to say about that. But yeah. One of my favorite Christmas albums of recent years is from Sia.
Oh, I did not know. I just got turned on to her. Well, I'm a sad girl, so I need to listen to sad girl music.
Yeah. She's had a rotten life.
Yeah.
She's had a really rotten life.
Did you hear about what she did recently, which I thought was awesome?
No.
So, you know, she's most commonly, if she's in public or when she's performing or in videos, things like that, she wears like really elaborate wigs.
Yeah. She covers her face.
And
too.
I was going to say typically that come like down to her nose. And so recently, there was a woman who was at a Walmart. And she told a bunch of people that she had just won the lottery and started just covering everyone's purchases. And it's the Christmas season. So we're talking, she's covering like several $100 purchases. And then finally, a diehard fan who's seen her without the wigs was like, oh my God, that's Sia.
Sia's buying everyone's Christmas presents.
So Sia was buying everyone's Christmas presents
nice.
At Walmart. Which I thought was, I mean, and especially the sheer fact that it was... I mean, talk about no one knows or very few. Apparently someone does know, but very few people know what she actually looks like.
Yeah.
So it was a genuine, just like nice Christmas deed.
Nice.
Yeah, she ended up getting recognition for it. But you can, I mean, you can tell just by the sheer fact of like how she's dressed and how she's put together that like she did not plan on anybody recognizing her, you know, like she looked like your average Walmart shopper. But I thought, I read that story and it really,
cool.
It was funny. They even, the person who recognized her, like, even put on Instagram, like, I'm sorry I recognize you. I know I totally blew up your spot. But I thought that was so cute because it is. I mean, that's not that crazy a story. If somebody wins the lottery, if someone wins like millions of dollars, a lot of times they want to do something nice. So that it's not that outrageous that somebody would go to a Walmart during the Christmas season.
No, what's outrageous is that someone actually recognized Sia in public because it. And someone asked her about that years ago, and she said, "Look, I don't want to spend every day reading about how I've gained weight or how I've lost weight or how I look good or how I don't look good."
Yeah.
That's why I do this. She and wants that, to be judged on the music.
And well, which is, I mean, definitely admirable. You know, it's because that, I mean, if you think through like so many musicians, it's been all of it is just what they look like. Like,
yeah.
What it, like, I mean, poor Kelly Clarkson. Do you know how many interviews I have read where there's so many questions surrounding her weight, surrounding, oh, you seem like you've gained weight. Oh, you seem like you've lost weight. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, guys, have you heard her sing? Like, she, who cares? Like, have her wear a potato sack so you can't tell and just let her sing the national anthem.
That,
like,
that used to be the Oprah topic every 6 months. Is she up? Is she down? Is she up? Is she, Oprah looks good. Oprah's gaining the weight again. Oprah looks great. Oprah's gaining the weight again. It's like,
it's like, you know, she gave an entire audience cars, right?
Yeah. It's like, what do I have to do to get you people to stop talking about that? But I've gone through like all the new Christmas albums. The Jonas Brothers album is rubbish.
There's only two of them now, right?
No, all three of them are on it.
Oh, I was going to say one of them like is a carpenter now, though.
Yeah, he still shows up to do the Christmas album.
God forbid.
The new Katy Perry album is awful.
I mean, is anyone really?
The Idina Menzel album
like
is nice enough, but it's Idina Menzel singing Christmas classics backed up by a big band. They all are, by the way. Yeah.
That's one of my biggest celebrity doppelganger things. And people are like, oh my God, there's this Broadway actress. I can't remember her name. And I'm like, Idina Menzel. And they're like, oh my God, do people tell you you look like her all the time? I'm like, why do you think I know her name?
Yeah.
But yeah, well, that's the thing is, I mean, she has a beautiful voice. But like you said, I mean, it's nothing we haven't gotten a million versions of in the last, since Christmas music being recorded became a thing.
You were here for last year's show.
I was.
The stuff that I'm looking for is stuff like that version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch by the Small Town Titans.
Yeah. You know, that's just like, whoa, this is.
That dude with the ridiculous metal voice, like growling through half of the song.
I'm sad that Dropkick didn't do some Christmas song this year.
Yeah, that was a good one. Chris Earl played that last year. Yeah. I mean, it's
that was, I think that like that was maybe my favorite of last year.
We've been going hard for the last couple of years on this, and you know, I legitimately have a dozen new favorite Christmas songs that I've pulled out of doing that show.
Yeah.
And that's the standard, is it's like, do I want to hear this 70 times between Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Yeah.
And is there something that really stands out about this? And I'm just not finding the stuff.
Oh, I have one that I don't think you've ever used that I could lend you.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel. Send me a link. I'll take it.
I was going to say, it's only on YouTube, but I mean, that doesn't matter.
No, I don't care. We play stuff on YouTube all the time.
Because it's my favorite. It's a duet of two stars just being silly. But it counts because it's them performing a holiday song.
Anyway, enough about my problems. Let's talk about the
the entire world's problems.
Yeah, let's talk about the problems we all share.
Well, no, this is actually the opposite of a problem. In local news, according to the Boston Globe, Governor Charlie Baker's ban on vape sales were listed today, nearly 3 months after it started amid an outbreak of vaping-related lung injuries. Baker's Public Health Council voted on regulations today that could pave the way for some nicotine products to return to stores, albeit under much tighter restrictions. Since the ban took effect, a flurry of lawsuits, scientific updates, and government decisions have altered the world of vaping, including a new law passed by the legislature that banned flavored nicotine products in an effort to curb teenage vaping. While some of these scientific updates validated the ban, there have been more recent ones that allowed for this lift.
They've sort of lifted the vaping ban.
Sort of.
Just in time for Christmas, get your vapes, you know.
Yeah. And they said, obviously, it's not going to be, okay, it's Wednesday, everyone put the vape pens back out. Like, it's not going to be like that. It's going to, as with any prohibition, it's going to be a slow trickle.
So
I just feel bad because, you know, like, there's a store, like, I remember I was in Plymouth, And I was parked in front of the store that said, like, I was in Plymouth and at 7 o'clock at night. And I was parked in front of the store that said open 10 to 9. And I looked and I was like, the store looks totally empty, like totally dark. This is so weird. And the person I was with was like, it's a vape store. Yeah. They're out of business.
Yeah, they're not. They're gone. You don't have that anymore. So flavored tobacco is still banned. Flavored vapes are still banned.
They know they still have cotton candy flavored vodka, right?
The menthols are banned because, black Massachusetts residents need the magical white people to save them from themselves, because that's not a racist policy at all. Flavored chewing tobacco is banned.
White people use menthol.
Flavored chewing tobacco is banned.
Is banned?
Yeah, banned. This is the thing that this is the weird one in this, okay? Electronic cigarettes can only be used in smoking bars.
There's
no smoking bars. Where are these smoking bars?
I guess a hookah bar. Like, that would be the only... That's the only place in the last decade that I have smoked a cigarette.
Are we going to have smoking bars now? Because, man, I miss smoking in bars. I used to enjoy smoking in bars.
Me too, to be honest with you. I hate smoking in restaurants, but there's something about, and I mean, I don't drink anymore, but I can commiserate with the person who likes to have a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other indoors. Yeah. There's just something so right.
Although, you know what? So I was at a friend's house watching the Pats game, and you could smoke in one room of the house. And I'm sitting there smoking in the house.
They had a designated.
And I'm like,
designated smoking room.
Yeah. And I'm like, this just doesn't feel right anymore. It just feels wrong now to smoke indoors.
Yeah. Well, even if you go, and I honestly don't know why we don't have this in America, because it wouldn't change a thing, other than that when you have a 3-hour layover, you don't have to go through security again. In Europe, they have smoking huts. All through the terminals in the airport.
They got them at Canopy Lake, too.
And it's literally, there's a fan that just sucks out. I don't know where, it must have an exhaust to the outside, but it's so much better because it's like, okay, there's my gate. Okay, I can have, because, I can tell you firsthand that it definitely contributes to people being less crabby when they're on a plane.
Yeah, they don't want a bunch of angry French people walking around saying, what do you mean I can't have my gauze?
But it is a weird feeling, though, because typically these little lounges are just a glass encasement. So, you're sitting there smoking a cigarette, and it's like you can't not feel like, I'm being naughty right now.
Yeah. Everybody's walking by judging you.
Yeah, everyone's walking by. It's almost like you're in an aquarium of smokers.
Yeah.
excuse me.
The e-cigarettes, as long as they're tobacco flavored and less than 35 milligrams per milliliter of vaping solution, can be sold anywhere. So e-cigarettes that have a low nicotine count, they can sell anything.
Speaking of airports, it's kind of like the whole less than an ounce of liquid.
Yeah.
Thing on an airplane.
More than 35 milligrams per milliliter, and they can only be sold in tobacco stores that are 21 plus.
Okay. I mean, I'll get on board with that.
Which is fine. Look, I don't have a problem with that.
There are enough tobacco stores around, too.
Yeah.
It's not that's not...
Never mind that at the age of 18, the state can send you to go die on a battlefield somewhere, but they won't let you have a cigarette.
Which is crazy, considering, I think about the stories my grandfather told me about World War II, and that's how he started smoking. And my grandfather went into World War II, I believe, when he was 17.
They got smokes in the rations.
They'd hand them their tray of food, and there'd be two cigarettes on there.
Yep.
And then when a certain light went on, that meant that they weren't under surveillance, that it was safe to have smoke flying up in the air.
Yeah.
But yeah, they, Lucky's were the official sponsor of World War II.
Yeah. Did help the tobacco companies do great business after World War II.
Because everyone was addicted to cigarettes.
Yeah, because they're all like, hey.
Because they all came home and were like, hey, guess what this new habit I developed while I was fighting Nazis and...
There's a free pack of smokes.
What were the Japanese version of Nazis called?
Japanese people.
I would say just Japanese people.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like that's a harsh...
What?
Harsh generals. There's got to be a subunit.
No.
some kind of less all-encompassing label.
No, it's just the Empire of the Rising Sun.
God, that's...
They didn't give them a... Well, they gave them names, but we don't use those names anymore because they're derogatory.
They were derogatory.
Japanese
people. As opposed to Nazis, where it's like, this was an actual name of a political party.
Like, that's who you are. You're Nazis. You're a political party. Yeah, jawohl. We're having a good time over here. Please stop doing that.
Could you stop needlessly genociding people?
So,
thank you.
You know, welcome to the nanny state. They're going to sell the menthols until June 2020. Then you got to go to New Hampshire to buy them.
But I think that for me, is the big, like, what the hell in all of this? In that, like, I could see, okay, if we were, and I'm not saying this in terms of culturally, I'm saying in terms of size. If we were Montana, yeah, a band like that might do something, because I don't know if you've ever been to Montana. It's freaking huge. Yeah. It's so hard, especially once you pass a certain point, to get to another state. Here, it's like, when I was a kid, I thought New Hampshire was a town in Massachusetts. I honestly did, because I grew up in Quincy. My mom would say, my cousins live in New Hampshire, say, we're going to New Hampshire. It would take like a half hour, 45 minutes to get there. So in my brain, that was, okay, New Hampshire's a town. Obviously, it's a town in Massachusetts because it's close to my house. And unless they can get all of New England on board, it's like all you're doing is stimulating the economy of our neighboring states that don't have this.
Not to mention enterprising people like myself who are going to drive up to New Hampshire, load up the trunk of their car with menthol cigarettes, and then go sell them.
Yeah, that's how I used to make money when I was in college. Statute of limitations, I can talk about it now. Every school break, I'd go around to all the smokers on my floor and say, what do you want? And then I'd go up to New Hampshire, buy cartons. And this is back when New Hampshire, now it's like not that much, as much of a difference as it used to be because of the federal taxes that were added. But now then it was like cigarettes in New York were going for $8 a pack minimum. And in New Hampshire, I could get them for $2 a pack by the carton. And I would jack up the price by like $4, and it was still super cheap for my consumer.
Yeah.
But for me, it was cha-cha-ching.
My goal is to become
Hey, family, my first 2 years of college, your Christmas presents, that's how I bought them.
My goal is to become the menthol king. That's what's going to happen. I am going to be the menthol king of Massachusetts.
You should just walk around with a little mint-colored crown.
It's going to be like Breaking Bad. You know, say my name.
Are you going to have the blue menthol?
Say my name. Yeah, we'll have the blue menthols. And that's my plan. I'm going to make a fortune on this.
Oh.
And it's all tax.
I'm so glad that you're announcing that super illegal thing on the radio.
And it's all tax free because it's illegal. So, you know, it's I'm winning twice over.
It's all. Any police officers listening, his name is Derek Gary. That's G E.
Any police officers listening who want menthols, I'll hook you up.
I got your back.
I guarantee
you. We can
you.
Just pretend they fell off the back of a truck.
I'll get a few cops in every town. It'll be like, I really need the menthols, man. It's like, on the house.
I'm fiending. On the house. For that fiberglass.
Thank you. Thank you for your support of our community and everything you do. You get your menthols for free.
That is literally how the mafia did it.
Yeah. No, believe me, I know how it works. All right?
Like, now you're not even sugarcoating the fact that trying to straight up mafia this.
Look, the reason I'm intelligent enough to engage in illegal activity. The reason I don't is because most illegal activity is really bad for people. You know,
it's true.
I can't exploit people. I'm not gonna be a pimp. I'm not gonna engage in human trafficking. All right. I don't want people getting hooked on drugs, so I'm not...
It's very honorable of you, Derek. That even though you could be a pimp, you're not gonna.
I'm not... No, because I couldn't live with myself. I don't want to do that. I want to hurt people. Say, drugs, same thing, okay? I don't know how drug dealers live with it. I mean, I do, because it's the only job you can get.
Yeah, I mean... Not everyone can become a good drug dealer, but everyone can become a drug dealer.
But it's, you know, I got no patience for
that. See, kids, you do have a future.
Fireworks is too much of a pain in the neck. Because you got to move the stuff. You got to store the stuff. It's, you know, it's danger, danger, danger all around.
I was saying, it's danger. It's both, like, theoretically and literally dangerous.
And there's only two times a year when people even want the damn things.
It can explode dangerous. Yeah.
There's only two times a year when people even want the damn things. Menthol cigarettes?
I like fireworks all year, but that's just...
I got no problem with that. If you want to smoke menthol cigarettes, let them smoke menthol cigarettes. Call the Menthol King.
Call the Menthol King. DG.
This will be... And then I can take the money from that and start up that online business I talked about last week. Shoot. S-H-E-W-T.
Oh, yeah. The Uber for guns.
Yeah, we're going to have the guys in the van with the guns. And
wow.
You call up and say, I need guns, and we come over.
You know, I really thought I had mentally blocked that out, but Here it is, fresh in my brain.
I'm building an empire in 2020.
You're building an empire of illegal businesses that you don't feel bad about.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun idea for a show if you and I just thought of all these illegal businesses we could do, but that are generally harmless.
Something tells me once the word gets out that I'm making money as the Menthol King, I'm going to have people coming after me, and I'm going to need that van full of guns.
Do you know what my favorite illegal business that I've ever heard of is? I believe I spoke about it on the show. It was a guy that was a one-man sperm bank.
Mm.
Like, he figured out that he had fathered, like, over 70 kids.
I think I know this guy.
But it was... something to do with that sperm banks are expensive, or there was some reason that he was just like doing this out of the kindness out of his heart, but I believe he made a profit off of it. Yikes. I remember I was just like, can you imagine? Like, that's what I think about sperm banks anyways, but this guy knowingly people can donate sperm banks and nothing gets picked up. This guy's like, there's just like 70 kids out there walking around looking like me.
Yeah. I tried putting myself up for stud, and the women just weren't, you know.
Nobody
just weren't biting.
Well, Molly did.
Oh, she did. Yeah. So I got one.
So you're gonna have one little Derek running around.
But that one costs me money. You know, I was trying to get paid for it.
I hope it's a girl so hard because it would be so funny to see a boy chick you. Oh, it is.
It's a boy.
Do you know that, or are you just?
No, I know that.
Oh, okay.
We got a thing from the doctor that said that has a penis. So, you know,
I count 21 fingers and toes. Yeah. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, that one's in the middle.
Yeah. It's like, the magic of pregnancy and childbirth. I will demystify that for you in 5 minutes, given the opportunity.
You know, I'm good with my amount that I'm privy to already.
On a related note.
A related note to pregnancy.
Shay Spillane. Let me see if you can figure out what's wrong with this story.
Ooh, a game. A game is afoot.
Tell me what's wrong with this story. This is from CBS Boston. New Hampshire program will allow state employees to take infants to work. Starting in January, New Hampshire state employees will be able to take part in a program that will allow them to take their infant children to work, Governor Chris Sununu said Monday. Sununu signed an executive order allowing parents and eligible guardians of infants between the ages of 6 weeks and 6 months to bring their child to work so long as their state agency or department has elected to participate. The worker receives prior written authorization from the agency's human resource officer. The worker has completed an individualized plan for the infant. There is no safety hazard or concern to the parent of the infant, and there is limited disruption in the workplace. Sununu said over 20 state departments and agencies have chosen to participate so far. The program will be based on programs in several other states, including Arizona, Vermont, and Washington. Quote, this initiative can provide working families with options to give their kids the healthiest possible start to life while allowing them to remain in the workforce if they choose to do so, Sununu said at a news conference. Shay Spillane, what is wrong with this story?
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, but just throw one thing out there. Any one thing.
Okay. 6 weeks, they should still have maternity leave at that point.
Ah, that would be a problem.
Yeah,
that'd be a real big problem right there.
Yeah. 6 weeks, the kid's still pretty much cooking just outside the oven.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a time to be like slinging it around to your state job with you. I know it said the thing about safety regulations, but I'm thinking of like state, like I don't get, this is like socialism. It sounds really nice on paper, but in execution, it would be an absolute nightmare.
Can we talk about the fact that this is even something being talked about?
There's something like being talked about, like encouragingly.
Like if people have just had babies, they shouldn't be at the freaking workplace.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, taking aside the fact that they should, that legally they're supposed to have maternity leave, there having a baby takes it out of you.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, what do you call it? I remember the first couple weeks of my friend, very funny comedian, Bethany Van Delf. But I remember the first couple weeks of her having her first child. She was just like, I can't imagine doing anything. Like, I would come and have coffee with her for an hour, and she's like, this is the only time that I'm not, like, cry sleeping. like just because it's so much to have a new baby. Right up to, I mean, not even a new baby. Like, babies are a lot, and you can't, that's my favorite thing about that, like, what do you call it? My favorite part about the whole, like, restrictions on it is you have to be able to guarantee that it's not a disruption to the workplace. You can't guarantee anything about infants. My cousin Catherine cried for 6 months straight. No reason. She wasn't wet. She wasn't hungry. She was fine. Just cried for no reason. No one predicted that.
Yeah.
Nobody could have signed something saying, oh yeah, my kid's not going to cry for 6 months straight. Like, I just see so many holes in this. Like, it's...
The policy says that habitually disruptive or sick infants are not permitted in the workplace, and that parents participating in the program are required to comply with current state regulations governing child immunizations. The infants shall not be brought to meetings unless approved in advance by the agency's human resource officer and the meeting organizer. Quote, this will alleviate a lot of anxiety that comes with the stress of being a new parent, said Sarah Stewart, commissioner of the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources, who approved the policy. No, Commissioner Stewart. What would alleviate the stress of being a new parent is 6 months paid maternal leave, which is what they get in Europe. Why? Because that's good for your employees. It's good for the infants. It's good for society.
Yeah.
Hey, You're coming back after 6 weeks with the baby, right? Is not good for anybody.
Yeah. That, yeah. It's, this is so stupid. Like, I can't.
This is what I love about government, is you create a problem, and then instead of solving, the problem being no maternity leave, and then instead of solving the problem by creating maternity leave, you say, okay, you can bring your infant to work.
Yeah. It's...
Nobody can afford childcare.
You're creating a bigger problem.
Nobody can afford childcare because everybody has to get back to work as soon as possible.
Well, and the irony, too, is that they're saying... what do you call it? They're saying, like, it can't be a child who's habitually sick or disruptive.
Yeah.
Those are the children that are the most difficult to get outside care for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those are the children that the nanny's just like if you can afford a nanny, if you can afford to send your kid to daycare, whatever, that they're just like, I'm sorry, this isn't jiving. Like,
yeah.
This isn't, your kid's the worst.
Yeah.
This isn't going
to
work.
We're sorry, your child with polio can't come to the office anymore.
We're tired of giving them an extra blanket.
Yeah, leave Tiny Tim at home or someplace that's not here. I mean, this is monstrous.
Yeah.
And of course, in true politician fashion, they come out and they spin this like it's a good thing. I look forward, this is Commissioner Stewart again. I look forward to supporting the new moms and dads that work in our department. Hey, if you want to support the new moms and dads that work in your department, give them 6 months of maternity leave. And these are state employees. These are New Hampshire state employees. They're not making bucks. They're not making pie. It's not like Massachusetts, where you get a state job and you're like, woohoo, you know, done. Like, these people don't make a lot of money up there, which is the reason they don't make enough money to pay for childcare, right? So 6 weeks of maternity leave goes by, and they're sitting around like, what do I do with this baby now? I have a choice between, like, getting rid of my job or I can't get rid of the baby. You can bring your baby to work.
Yeah.
Because that's a good environment for a baby.
Well, and even, I mean, even just thinking about the, like, the psychological development of relation of parent and child, there's a reason you don't bring kids to work.
Right.
It is supposed to be kind of a separation of your two roles and identities. You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's a reason that even people who have jobs where the kid could come don't bring them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a very important part of the, like, eventual, of the first step in the eventual, the kid goes off to college or the kid leaves the nest. Like, it's the first separation. It's a very important one. But it's also one that shouldn't happen after 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I have a friend who just went back to work after being on maternity leave with her first child after 6 months.
Yeah.
And she like worded it very well when she spoke about it on Facebook, which was just, you know, I'm really sad and like this is going to be incredibly difficult, but I know this is what is supposed to happen. And that's, it's supposed to be a progression like that. It's not supposed to be, okay, I popped the baby out.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. They're saying I have to come back to work after 6 weeks. Oh, I'll just bring the baby with me. It can sit in the toll booth with me.
Yeah.
Like that.
The people who created this policy are monsters. You are monsters. The fact that you need this policy means that you are monsters. And that doesn't just go for New Hampshire. That goes for the other states that are involved in this. I mean, I don't expect much out of Arizona anyway, because we've learned better. I'm surprised that Vermont is doing this, because Vermont is usually, you know, pretty progressive about things.
Yeah.
Apparently not child rearing or child care. Washington, I don't know. I assume that's Washington State. That's a lost cause. You know, you might as well tell me that California's doing this. And like, can we get Oregon in there too? And just, you know, write off the entire western coast of the United States, which is a nightmare. But I mean, this is monstrous. This is positively monstrous.
Really bad idea.
What you should be doing is figuring out how you are going to get 6 months of maternity leave for your state employees. And because here's the thing, if the state is taking this attitude, what do you think private enterprise is going to do? Private enterprise is going to be like, yeah, we're cutting 6 weeks. You got 6 weeks and you're back on the job. We got a room you can throw the infants into.
It's so ridiculous.
This is the state. If it was a private company doing this, you know, if it was Amazon saying, oh yeah, you can have your infant in the van while you're driving around, or you can carry the infant on your back while you're picking things in the warehouse, or if it was, I don't know, so what's another, if it was ExxonMobil or something like that, people would be losing their minds. They'd be like, look, here's the patriarchy once again, denying women the opportunity to properly raise their children. They're not giving them maternity leave. Why can't we be more like Europe? New Hampshire does. Everybody's like, oh, look at this great new policy. Bring your infant to work. No, this is monstrous.
It's just a really, really bad idea.
Yeah. Shame on you, New Hampshire.
Shame on you, New Hampshire. Do you want another local or do you want national?
I'll take local.
This is actually one that hits close to home for me, mostly because it greatly affects the area between my home and my mother's that I drive down, which is Route 3A. Protests continued today at a Four River Basin site where crews are preparing for the construction of a 7,700 horsepower natural gas compressor station that recently received final approval despite the fierce opposition of nearby residents and elected officials. According to the Patriot Ledger, protesters said at least six were arrested as they tried to prevent work from happening today. The protests are a continuation of a long fight Weymouth residents and local politicians have had to stop construction of the compressor they consider dangerous and a threat to public health in the area because of pollution. Last week, in the earliest days of development of the station, four people were arrested. The multinational energy transportation company Enbridge and its subsidiary Algonquin get the final go-ahead from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for the project late last month, despite the fact that there are several pending lawsuits against it. They're fighting the construction because they're fighting it because the site of this compressor station has already been an environmental nightmare in the past. They already they want an excavation of contaminated fill at the site halted until regulators order more testing for asbestos. And I'm sorry, I'm reading this wrong. Oh, there we go. For asbestos, but it was the reason that they're so concerned about this is that, like I said, this has been a problem before. It was previously used by Boston Edison to dispose of coal and ash for its Edgar station on the other side of Route 3A. And they later put in a 11.3 million gallon above ground oil tank on the property that also caused contamination. The local governments actually did soil assessments around the area, and they showed coal, ashes, and metals, including arsenic.
Yeah, of course.
And for those of you listening to us from the South Shore, for the past year, if you've driven up and down 3A, there are signs everywhere saying no compressor station. There has been a lot of local outcry about this, and I can understand this. This really reeks of an Aaron Brockovich-y type thing.
I don't know. I think this has less to do with the fact that there's, you know, arsenic in the soil at ye olde industrial dumping ground, which is what that space is, and the fear that natural gas compression station go boom.
I think that's
what's really going on here, and it's like, could you just address that and stick to that issue?
Well, and to be frank, I mean, even if it is just that, they have a point. Like, there are so many places that, like, even putting the environmental issue aside, so many places that it would cause less of a catastrophe if that were to happen. Like, this is a hub. Like, 3A goes from Boston all the way down to, I want to say that it ends...
It ends somewhere down on the Cape.
I would say, like, down, yeah, like, it ends, it becomes 6A.
Yeah, it ends at the Cape Cod Canal, basically.
And then it becomes 6A once you're going over the Cape Cod Canal on Route 6. And it's a connector. I mean, this one particularly, this connects Quincy to, like, where this area is, it connects Quincy to Weymouth. They just built a brand new Four River Bridge. It's funny, I was the fourth person to go over that bridge. And
so you're the one that started the traffic jam, or was it the person in front of you?
Well, it was funny because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I was coming back from here. Actually, nope, that's a lie. I was coming back from Tavern after here, and I wasn't drunk, but I probably smelled like alcohol. And I remember a cop waving me down and me being like, shoot, oh no. And then he's like doing the motion for me to roll down my window. I'm like, can I help you, officer? He goes, you're number four. I was like, I'm four what? He's like, you're the fourth person to go over this bridge. I was like, oh, yay, and slowly roll my window back up. Don't look at my eyes. I'm not giggling. You're giggling. We're both giggling. I'm the fourth. Yay, that's what I'm giggling about. It's the first, not that Quincy's part of Boston, but it might as well be in terms of like the accessibility to the city.
Let me just acquaint you with some reality. As far as everyone,
I love getting acquainted with reality.
As far as everyone in the Boston and in Boston and the North Shore is concerned, Quincy is expendable. And if you all disappear in a natural gas explosion, we're going to cry, but we're going to be like, okay.
Quincy is expendable.
You're expendable.
Some of the founding fathers were born in Quincy,
yeah,
Derek.
Yeah, it's been a long
time.
Have
some respect for history.
What have the Adamses done for us lately?
Tourists and crap.
Yeah, exactly. Now that you don't.
I live in Quincy. This is such a disrespectful thing to say to me.
Now that you don't have the original Dunkin' Donuts anymore.
We do.
You don't. It's called Dunks now, or DK.
It's still the same location, which I always think is hilarious, is a quarter mile from the police station. I swear to God, that's how the whole police donuts thing started.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, seriously, go to the first Dunkin' Donuts location. You can see, you could throw a football, if you were good at throwing footballs, but you could pretty much throw a football from Dunkin' Donuts to the police station. It's glorious.
Well, if you were good at throwing a foot, let me put it this way. If you could hit the Dunkin' Donuts police station in Quincy from the Dunkin' Donuts, you probably played for the Weymouth football team.
Is that a slight at Quincy?
It's a little Quincy dig right there. It's a little Quincy dig right
there. Oh, come on. We don't care about Weymouth. The two high schools just hate each other.
Probably played for the Weymouth football team.
I always rooted for Quincy because
I could never go
they're the presidents.
I could never go to Quincy again because someone's going to say, hey, that's that guy.
Hey,
I'm going to have like 20 people
kid,
kicking my ass.
Hey, kid. Yeah. You're going to hold my Newport light.
Yeah. big North Shore guy, huh? Big North Shore guy. Hey, you down on the South Shore now. Come here, pal.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love. When I moved to, like, it really is. It's this unspoken rivalry. When I moved to Somerville, and obviously I live back in Quincy now. You can take a girl out of Quincy, but no, you can't. When I moved to Somerville, my father grew up in Dorchester. He'd literally, like, never been to Somerville. And,
there really aren't a lot of reasons to go over there.
True, but it's like, I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
And theoretically, I mean, the only reason I had ever been to Somerville is because I'm a comedian. There are lots of open mics there. But I remember it was so funny. I'll never forget the first time my father came to my house and he's like looking around my neighborhood and just like taking it all in. And he's like, this is just like Dorchester. And I was like, yeah. Like, we have this big freaking rivalry, and you realize we're suburbs of the same city. Like, it's not, we're not talking like Italy and France here.
Yeah.
Like,
no, but I was talking to somebody.
Maybe we're talking Italy and Ireland a little bit.
I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and like her boyfriend's from the South Shore. She works in Linfield, and she's spending 2 hours in traffic every day. And I'm like, move up here. And she's like, I can't. He's a South Shore guy. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, when I was a kid.
She's not from here, and she's figured it out.
Even riding the T when I was a kid, when I was first allowed to ride the T, because I grew up off the Red Line, off Quincy Center, represent. But it was, like, my parents, like, told me what stops I was allowed to get off at. And I could get off at, like, you know, Park Street, obviously. I could get off at, like, the ones around there. And then I could get off at Harvard. And then I would be like, but what are these ones after Harvard? Oh, you don't have to concern yourself with those.
Yeah.
You're not going there.
Yeah.
Like, basically, like, you're not. There is no reason for you to go to Somerville. And it was the same, like, when I used to drive around aimlessly when I was in high school. You know, once I got my license, we just get lost in Boston on purpose. If we saw the Schraffs building, it was like, nope, went too far. Got to turn around.
Yep. Well, that's Charlestown, and they will destroy you.
This is true.
But, you know, if you're from the South Shore, you know, try Revere. You know, it's kind of like
the South Shore
over there.
It is a lot like Quincy. My friend lives in Revere, and I'm like, eh.
And,
six
you know,
one half dozen to another.
Most of the North Shore doesn't like Revere either, so.
So we'll get along just fine. There are more Italians than Irish up there, though.
I think, oh yeah, absolutely. Like Revere,
we would be like very fair skinned and haired.
Revere used to be a stronghold, but it's the Italians are spreading out as they tend to do.
Diaspora of Italians.
Yeah, they're all heading up to New Hampshire. Everybody's heading to New Hampshire. 855-915.
Because they all want a vape.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is donations drive, Shea Spillane.
Donations drive.
We want your money. Give us your money.
Yeah, because we like, you know, turning the lights on here.
It's the holiday season. Give some money to WMFO. That's what I'm saying, is you should give some money to WMFO. What you want to do is you want to go to WMFO.org and click on the donate link. It's right up there on the top menu. Donate with an exclamation point next to it. Because it's exciting when you give money to WMFO. We are trying to raise $5,000. And why are we doing that? Because radio costs money. We got to pay for servers. We got to pay for electricity. We got to pay for phone lines. We got to pay for digital services. We got to pay
internet.
Yeah, internet. We got to pay the record companies. Like, everybody's got their hand out when you're in radio, and they're like, "Hey, give us some of that."
We just want to talk into microphones. Leave us alone.
Yeah. So if you enjoy all of the many digital products that we have, all the different ways that you can access WMFO, a great way to show your support is to donate to WMFO.org by going to WMFO.org and clicking on the donate link. Now, it is super, super easy to donate. And if you give us certain amounts of money, we'll send you some stuff. Always nice. For a $5 donation, you can get yourself a WMFO bumper sticker and let everybody know that you have superior taste in radio. It makes you more attractive.
Yeah.
It makes you more attractive.
And as we discussed last week, it's a very aesthetically appealing bumper sticker.
One of the better radio bumper stickers that you're ever going to come across.
It's the font draws the eye in just the right way. It's very nice.
For $10, you can get a WMFO button. It's small. It is polite. I think it could be bigger, actually, for $30, for $10. But it's a nice button.
It's a good solid button.
Conversation starter if you wear it around town. For $30, you can get the WMFO shirt. You will wear this. It's a nice shirt. For $50, you can get the limited WMFO coffee mug. And, you know, we all want the coffee. Everyone needs more coffee mugs. This is like the new, like, everybody's got a collection of coffee mugs sitting somewhere. Add a WMFO mug to your collection. For $100, this is cool. You can come to WMFO and record a PSA with your voice, and then we'll play it on the air as part of our regular PSA schedule. So if there is a cause...
That I think is like, I mean, if I didn't already, you know, do this, I would totally be down for that. Like, you get to come to... Our station is very cool, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking about last week, like, when you think, like, when you're a kid and you're picturing that radio station with all the cool art and records everywhere, like, that's actually what it looks like.
It's kind of what it is around here. Yeah.
If this wasn't a audio only medium, I would illustrate that to you.
If there is a cause that you support, if there is an organization that needs some extra attention, something that you believe in, you come in, record a PSA. You get to be in a sound studio and see how the whole process works.
Yeah.
And then we will give you a digital file of the PSA. You can share that with other radio stations if you want to.
It's yours.
They take PSAs. They put them on the air. We have some
You could be on, I mean, why would you want to be on any station but this? But you could be on one of the major network stations. You play your cards right and pound that pavement properly.
We have some great production
Maybe
people.
Maybe slip them in Derek's resume. I don't know.
We have some great production people around here.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say, this will be like a professionally, this isn't doing a podcast in your friend's closet.
Yeah, this is like,
yeah, like, hang on, share this microphone.
marijuana should be legal. Call me. Yeah. No, like, we'll make you sound like $1 million. So that's $100.
My foot hurts. Pay for me to go to the doctor.
In past years, I've offered the nuclear option.
Don't stop it.
Here's the thing.
What?
Spoiler alert.
What?
I don't need to.
What?
I don't need to offer the nuclear option.
What?
You know why.
Oh, yeah.
This is it. This is the last regular show.
Oh, snap. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And we're not saying anything more on that point. Because there will be one coming up in January. But
we will be back.
We will be back.
Derek and I will not abandon you
in
this, your time of radio need.
Well, if you like us.
Yeah, if you like us, you'll like this.
If you like this content, I don't know. But we'll...
I mean, you can still... People are multifaceted. Yeah. I mean, give the listener some credit, G.
Let me put it this way. Change is in the wind. And
I was going to say, I was going to quote Bob Dylan, which...
I can't quote
Bob Dylan without sounding whiny.
That we neither asked for nor should be happening, but we will adapt.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to.
We're like... things that adapt. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
And don't for a second think
we're like monkeys when they want to, or chimpanzees when they wanted to become humans.
Don't for a second think that means you should not donate to WMFO.org, because you should, because this is a great station.
They're not like kicking us out.
No, they're not. Well, no, they're not. They're, yeah.
Stuff's happening.
There are things happening behind the scenes here. So, WMFO.org, click on the donate button. And send us some money so we can keep this thing going. If you have a favorite show around here...
We like headphones that work.
You would not believe how poorly headphones are made these days.
I have... what was I going to say? I have mine like wrapped in a sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Like my personal... Like they provide us... That's one of the things. They provide us with headphones. We don't have to bring our own. So I wasn't kidding when I said it's nice to have functioning headphones here.
Yeah.
But I, of course, most radio people do have like their own personal pair, but I have mine like wrapped in a sweatshirt, like tucked very carefully in a bag because I really don't want to, or in a box rather, because I really don't want to break them.
We go through headphones like you wouldn't believe because they're in use 24 hours a day and they're not meant to be in use. They're not meant to be in use for like more than a couple of hours a year the way they make them. So, yeah, we need headphones.
They're very delicate.
Indeed. So, WMFO.org, click the donate button. Send us some money. You'll get a good feeling. And if you send us, you know, $5, you get a button, $50, coffee mug, $30, a shirt. I'd go for the PSA option personally because that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do. This is WMFO Medford.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Your Austin 5-day forecast. I don't know what. Nobody knows what it's going to do.
It's crazy. I didn't even know it was snow today.
It's crazy.
I woke up and was like, hey, look at that.
I didn't know I was going to wake up to 3 inches of slush. Let me put it that way. And I was not happy about it. What the heck is this? They've changed.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if they changed it in like the last 20 minutes.
God, no. You know what it is? Google is like switching their links around again, and I hate it when they do that. Tonight, clear, cold. Watch out for ice if you are out. Mm-hmm. Lows in the 20s, which means ice. Bridges freeze first. Don't forget that. So if you're out driving, if you're out walking, there will be ice. Just assume that the ice is there.
There will be ice.
There will be ice. There is ice. So be mindful of that. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. We'll get up to freezing.
Well, goody.
Yeah. And then temperatures back in the 20s Thursday night. Friday, it's going to cloud up. Temperatures going to go into the mid-40s, and they're going to stay there. So that Saturday, it can rain. And it's going to rain a lot on Saturday. Heavy rain, highs in the upper 50s.
This is what's killing me. It's like, seriously, Mother Nature? Okay. If you're, don't tease us with warm weather if you're just going to rain all over it. Like, toss us one more clear day with a 5 at the beginning of the temperature.
Yeah, not getting that. Temperatures stay in the mid-40s Saturday night.
Sunday, I actually like layering.
Sunday is the closest thing to what you want, Shay. Partly cloudy, 49.
I'll take it.
Temperature dropping all day. It's going to be back around freezing on Sunday night. Maybe.
And there it goes.
Maybe White Christmas?
Maybe.
Maybe White Christmas?
Have I ever told you my favorite White Christmas memory, Derek?
No.
Given that this is our last show before Christmas, that isn't... my father's birthday is December 23rd. And every year...
So he got robbed on gifts every year.
Oh, yeah. He... My dad is... rightfully so, very. He's gotten like chiller about it in the past couple of years, but like, don't you dare give him a birthday gift in Christmas wrapping paper. Like, that's a good way to get shot. Not shot, but you know, displeased with. But my dad, when my parents were together, our thing every year is we would go out to dinner in town. And we went to Lockover. May it rest in peace. That place was dope. JFK lobster stew. I miss it. But I've always been like this super cheap. I mean, you know me. I'm a cheese ball. Like I like me some in my life.
Yeah.
And so it always bothered me that like for so many years in a row we didn't have a White Christmas. And I was like, this is Massachusetts. Like this is bull. And I was like 11 when this happened. But where I remember we're walking past Macy's right by Lockover. So like right, you know, like downtown. And we're walking back to the car. And my mother starts singing, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And I like snapped at her and was like, stop, you're just making it even worse. She's like, what? I was like, don't sing that right now. Like, I was just saying how mad I am that there's a freaking flake of snow on the ground. And like, now you're just like mocking me. You know, being the little preteen biatch that I was.
Yes.
And my mom was like, I don't know. It just came into my head. I don't know. I've got this feeling. And I fell asleep on the couch in our den, which was like one of those rooms that's just like all surrounded by windows. And the next morning, my mom woke me up and she had opened every single blind so you could see out the windows. And she goes, remember last night when I said that song just came into my head? And yeah. it was like good Christmas snow too. It wasn't like we're shoveling on Christmas morning snow. It was like that light kind of flurry all day kind of snow.
Yep.
But I always remember, like, after that, I was like, my mama's magical power Nice. So, Mom, if you could, we're going to be in Great Barrington. We're going to be in the Berkshires for Christmas this year.
No, you'll have snow.
So, Mom, if you could like kind of do the opposite of that and make sure that it's like, I still, you know, want to be able to leave our house and not get stuck there until February. So, work your magic, Mo.
You're getting a 3-foot blizzard out in
I was going to say, I'm going to be snowshoeing to Worcester to try to catch a bus back here.
Yeah, they dream of being able to drive places on Christmas in the Berkshires. It is WMFO Medford. More fun when we come back. And don't forget, On the Tell Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. And the annual Christmas battle. Next week, I think we're starting at like, I think the show starts at 5 with Chris. I think we're starting the battle around 6:30, 7.
That's what I was going to say is, what time should I be here?
Yeah, try and be here at 5. Definitely be here by 6. And that goes for you in the audience as well. Back after these here on WMFO Medford.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.